Check, check, check. Good morning, church. We are going to get into worship. If you guys would stand with me. I have a verse that is pretty well, we say it a lot, but I wanted to read it. I'll read it in the NIV and then I'll read it in another translation. And it's Psalms 100, verse 4. It says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." In the Passion, and let me just tell you guys right now, if you have not used the Passion for study, give it a try, because there is something very special about reading other translations. And the Passion does a really great way of making it a little bit poetic, if you will. And so in the Passion translation, it says, "You can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name." And that is ultimately what we get to do over these next few moments, is that we get to bring a offering of thanksgiving. Even when we feel like there's nothing to be thankful for, even if we feel like there's nothing that, you know, everything's bad and we have the stress and the worry and all the things that life can bring, that we have an opportunity this morning to bring him a gift of thanksgiving. And if you're struggling this morning to maybe even think, oh, what do I have to be thankful for? I would begin to, in these next few moments, to have a conversation with God. And begin praying, "God, show me in my life where I can be thankful. Show me in my life where, show me this morning where I can be thankful. And let me enter this place with thanksgiving." Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you so much for who you are. God, I thank you that you're in this place already, that you've been in this place, God, before we came into these doors, before we turned on the lights, before the music began playing, you were already here. And we just thank you, God, that you bless us with your presence. God, I pray that this morning, Lord, that lives would be changed, God, that hearts would be transformed. God, I pray, Lord, that a peace that surpasses all understanding would just fall in this place, God. I pray, God, against any stress, Lord, against any anxiety, God, against anything, God, that is keeping us distracted, Lord, anything that is burdening our hearts, God, anything that is coming in front of you, Lord, and keeping us from focusing on you. Right now, God, I just ask that, Lord, that our hearts would be conditioned and ready to receive what you have for us this morning. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you love us so much, that your love is it goes far beyond any of our understanding. It goes far beyond any thoughts or words that we have. Doesn't do anything justice when it comes to your love for us, God. And so, Lord, we just thank you that we get to praise you, that we get to praise you, that we get to praise you, and we just worship your holy name. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Let's worship you guys.
My praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Oh, I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Got nothing new. songs, as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. All that I have is a it are shaken and stirred. Broken from my regard. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. For me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The winds and waves still know His name. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and winds still know His name. The waves and winds still know His name. It is well with my soul.
Pronunciation, but it is tetelestai. And tetelestai has several meanings. The first meaning being that it was a Hebrew word in the New Testament Bible times that said when you did a business with somebody and you paid a receipt, that business was complete. That purchase was complete. Nothing else owed. And then in the judicial system, it also means that certain sentences, when they are served fully and completely, they are served fully and completely. No time served, no extra time tacked on. It is complete. And then the last one is military. And it means the war is won. It is the triumphant word for the war is won. And then all of these, when Christ said all these, he meant it for this, that in business, your sin debt was paid in full by his sacrifice. There is nothing else that needs to be done. It's complete. In the judicial, our judgment for sin is done. It's complete. There's no more judgment. The sentence has been served. The debt has been paid for that. And then in the military, the war, the spiritual warfare of sin and death and Satan is won because he won it. He conquered it. He died on the cross for us. And he conquered Satan. And Satan runs around making you think he didn't, but he did. Because it's all complete. So this song, It Is Well, when you're feeling like you're having a bad day or you've messed up, just remember God paid for that. And it's done. It's forgiven. It's under the blood of grace. It is complete and finished, and there is nothing for you to be guilty about. It is for you to receive it and walk in it in victory. And send the enemy back to hell where he belongs. Because he has no right and no place to judge you. Because God finished it.
It is well.
Just lift your name in praise, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that it just delights your heart and fills your throne room with this sweet smell of praise and worship, Lord. And Lord, while we're here, we also lift Phyllis to you, Lord. You know everything that she is going through, Lord, and we are praying for your comfort and your touch on her, Lord, that you will send your angels to minister to her, and she will know. And she will also be able to say, it is well with my soul because Christ has conquered it, Lord. And Lord, we pray for your word to be spoken today, Lord. Let your word be spoken here and sent out to serve. And Lord, we just thank you for who you are. And we praise these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. So go hug each other. Get some coffee, chocolate, tea. Love you guys.
Good morning. Good morning. To all of those who are still jibber jabbering, love it. But we're, yeah, let's get a move on. Get in your seats. Just kidding. No shade. I'm just kidding. I just love you guys. And I'm excited for what the Lord's doing today. So if you haven't found your seat, please do so. And we're getting ready to do a Heart of the House declaration for any of you who have not been with us lately, our declarations we do so that way we can see what God has been doing. It's our stance in faith, believing for the things, whether we're seeing them happen yet or not, but that they are going to in Jesus' name, right? All right, so will you guys stand with me? In authority, believing fully that these things are happening in Jesus' name. Yeah, right? On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I declare that a church is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and He is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind, and we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Yes, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. We just praise you. We lift this service to you, Father. We give you this city. God, we give you this house. Father, we pray that all of our actions, all of our words would bring you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Have a seat. Wow. You guys should not give me the mic. I'm just telling you. I love you guys so much. I just want to give you guys a few things that are coming up Sunday night, tonight, 6:30 to 8:30. Yes. That's okay. Sorry, I just got to make sure it's right there, but I don't like to look behind and then not see you. So 6:30 to 8:30 downstairs, we have youth every Sunday night just about. We text you if we don't, okay? Sound good? If you know of any young youth who could use a little Jesus in their life, please let them know that we're here and we are welcoming them with open arms. Women's Zoom meeting every Tuesday, 7 to 8 with Miss Gigi, Mama Gigi. And then men's is, you went really fast. Wednesday, 7 to 8 as well with Pastor Mike, okay? Numbers are up there. If you don't know, touch base with them. They'll let you know and then you guys can get plugged in. Sound good? Amen. All right. And then men's breakfast is this Saturday, 8:30 in the morning. This Saturday coming up, right? Yeah. Don't miss it. It's been amazing. Yes.
We have a guest speaker coming, and it's going to be amazing. So I just want to give you guys all the heads up to be there, okay?
So be there. All right, men, including my youth men. You guys, if you're here and you're available, I know it's hard. It is a not so godly hour, it feels sometimes on a weekend, but I promise you, you will be blessed and that you guys will receive things that you wouldn't have received elsewhere. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, Pastor Mike?
Oh,
giving. Of course, I'm just testing you. You guys are good. All right. So if you feel so inclined and God is leading you to give to the house, you can do it online with onelifefamilyworship.com. Click give. It'll walk you through it. Or you can do the traditional. Just put your money in the box and Jesus will bless it either way. Every dollar counts. He does amazing things, whether it's here in the house or whatever ministry you feel. Just know God is good. And if he tells where he tells you to sow it, do so. And he will bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so let's give it up for Pastor, the man of the house. Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I hope you're all doing well this morning. It's been a good day. We've had really last good 3 weeks of the discipleship class, and this is all material that I've been putting together. There were lots of different things that I could have done, but and things we've used before, but I really felt like I wanted to make it so that it was fresh and right from my heart. And so when I do it again, because I will be doing it again, probably I'm going to try to do it like probably every 4 months. So, and then if you miss a Sunday, then you could come and be in on that one if you want to, because I really think we're all called to be disciples.
Yeah.
Even though it is a choice you have to make, you have to take up your cross and follow him. But I believe it's part of Christianity is to follow Jesus with all that we are. So I encourage everyone who can make that, please. So today we're going to be talking about the weapon of worship. It goes right along with the worship songs that we sang. And I know that I said that I was done with the series on Armed for Battle, but it really is worship is really part of the weapon of our warfare that are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So I really wanted to show from the Old Testament, the New Testament, the power of worship. Now, I am sensing in the spirit and in the voices here that there is a jubilation that's starting to come. People are starting to really worship on Sunday mornings. And, you know, it says in the word that he inhabits the praises of his people. And so I don't know exactly what that means in the spirit. I mean, it's very ethereal when you think about it. What do you mean inhabiting the praises of his people? The very least, I believe that in us, he lives, right? Yeah. And so when he's inhabiting the praises of his people, most likely we're being drawn into his presence. So I encourage everyone on Sunday mornings to just give it your all when you're worshiping. And hopefully today's message will encourage you and give you reasons why it's good to do that. So let's start with 2 Chronicles. This is chapter 20. I'm going to do verses 1 through 4 and verses 12 through 22. Verses 5 through 11, I encourage you to read. They're really good. They're a prayer that Jehoshaphat prays for the people. He's reminding God of all the great things he's done for them, the promises he's made. And then we'll get the very last of that prayer in verse 12. But it starts out, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. So in other words, a large group is coming to him. Not just one group of nations, but many are coming against them. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazion Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Number one, that is the best thing to do when you're facing an enemy, you're facing a bad report, you're facing anything in life. I recommend seek the Lord. Verse 12, at the end of his prayer, he says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I put that in highlight because that's really important, to have our eyes upon Jesus. We don't know what kind of days that are going to come for any of us tomorrow, the next day, maybe even, you know, a year from now. We don't know what kind of problems we're going to face, what kind of enemies are going to come against us. But if we remember that if we keep our eyes on God, no matter how strong it may be or how devastating it may look, if we keep our eyes on God, we will be able to see what he wants to do in the situation.
Yeah, that's good.
Because maybe he wants to do something that's not going to be what we want immediately. Yeah. But what he wants is for our best interest, I believe. And for the best of all, we have to remember that God is love. There's no darkness in him. So whatever he does is good. He does all things well.
Yep.
Verse 13. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But basically, this guy was of a heritage, is what it's saying. This wasn't just anybody. This is somebody who had credence with the word of the Lord. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. So he said, listen, everybody, listen to me. Everybody all over the place. And you, King, listen. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. That's another thing for us to understand, is that the battle, any battle we're in, is God's if we give it to him. You say, well, Pastor Mike, it doesn't feel like it sometimes. It feels like I'm the one fighting. Well, I mean, that's because we haven't relinquished the authority into his hands for the battle that we're facing. And we're trying to do it on our own, in our own strength, in our own abilities, in our own past experiences. Guys, we're terrible at this. We've done things in the past. We think we can handle it again, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe we had God help us in the past, but right now it's like, well, he helped me then. I kind of know what it's like. I'm going to go for it again myself. And the problem is we end up messing up because we're not trusting in him. And maybe what he had us do in the past to get through something, we're not going to do the same thing this time. He's got a new way for us to learn and move in him. Amen. All right. Then verse 16 says, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. I love that news, right? You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now this, what is his name? Jehaziel? Man, that's a powerful proclamation. I mean, you're really hoping when you hear that, that is the word of the Lord, right? Let's believe that this is the word of the Lord. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now you notice, I'm going to go back here real quick. You notice that I called this the weapon of worship. When you guys come on Sunday morning and we're playing the songs and we're, you know, the guitar is going and the cajon and we're hearing the music and we're singing and we're raising our hands. And would most of you call that worship? I mean, we're having a worship service. That's what we think. Well, that's really praise what we're doing there. Worship is what they were doing here. They were prostrating themselves. They were bowing down before the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord. So if you really want to do worship, it's an act of humility. It's an act of you rendering your heart and your life to God. You're saying, Lord, I'm yours. I'm worshiping you right now by saying, you are greater, I am smaller. And praise is praising him for all the great things he's done. You know, those songs that we sing, you know, and praise, you know, like we were singing praise and we're singing it as well. Those are songs of praise. We're praising him for what he's done. But worship, we're really going to have a worship service. We'd all be up here on our faces. Wow. That would be a worship service. Whoa. Yeah, that's what worship is. And so when they heard this word from the Lord, Jehoshaphat was the first one. He bowed his head to the face of the ground. You know, he did this. He did this. He just either prostrate or he just put his face to the ground and he just said, God, we are yours. We're not our own. I told you earlier that we can't do this on our own. There's no way we're going to defeat this army. We're waiting on you. And so he said, we're humbly going to do what you said. We're not going to do our own thing. So it then says, then all of Jerusalem, all the inhabitants of Judah, they bowed before the Lord. So when the king did it, they followed him. That was a worship service. They were worshiping God. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with voices loud and high. Now that was praise. So they worshiped. They said, God, you are God. We are not. But because you're God and because you're our God, we can praise the Lord because you're going to fight for us. You're going to win this battle for us. We believe that this word from the Lord that came to Jehaziel is true. And so they were ready to receive it. Then verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. You know, believing and trusting is part of being worshipers. Because why are we going to worship? Why are we going to praise if we don't believe? I mean, if we don't believe, we're just going to, you know, sit there with our hands. But if we start believing that we serve a living God, we serve a God who's not just, you know, waiting to see us when we die sometime. No, but he's working and living and active in our lives right now. We're going to praise him. We're going to tell him thank you on Sunday morning for what he's doing in our lives, even if we can't see it. You know, we sing a song that says, you know, when I can't see you, we know you're working. When I can't hear you, when I can't feel you, I know you're working. Well, that's faith. That's believing that he's going to do something, even though we don't see it at this time. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. They fought each other. So I don't know how that happened. You know, it's like, you know, you're getting ready to go into a gang fight. You got your buddies with you. You're ready to go. And all of a sudden, you know, you're saying, well, you know, let's go at it. And next thing you know, they're all turning on each other and beating each other up. It's like, what just happened? That's what happened. And how did it happen? The praise and the worship went before them. So here's an army, a big army of Jerusalem, Judea, all the inhabitants that came. And what those enemies saw was worshipers coming, singing, probably with what do you call those things? Shofars, yeah, blowing shofars and all kinds of, making all kinds of noise, worshiping God. And God said, you know what? It's time for me to fight for you. Now, when they began to sing and praise, that was the key. When they began to sing and praise, that's when the Lord sent ambushes against his enemies and their enemies. Notice I said his enemies and their enemies. You got to realize that when you have an enemy, it's not just your enemy, it's also God's enemy. When you have somebody coming against you, they're not just coming against you, they're coming against the Lord. Oh, I'm trying to remember where it was at. I think it was one of the apostles said, he told them, listen, they're not coming against you. They're also coming against me because you're my church. You're my people. Oh, it was Saul. It was Saul when he was on his way to Damascus. Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul's like, I'm not persecuting you. Number one, you're like in the heavenlies. How am I going to preach? No, he said, as you're doing it to my church, you're doing it to me. So keep in mind, God's got your back. That's a reason to worship him. Okay, so now we're going to go to what's called the Brenton translation. I don't think I've ever used this before. You're going to say, what is that, Pastor? Well, there's a Old Testament book or an old Jewish book called the Septuagint. Anybody ever heard of it? Maybe a couple. The Septuagint is a book that was the Jewish book that was basically translated into Greek. And it was, you know, a scholarly work. There was, you know, times that it's quoted out of, but it has different aspects and different points of view at sometimes at different points in the communication of the book. So in other words, Job has like another, I think, 20 verses when God is speaking to Job out of after he's been praying and talking to all his friends. And I think it's around verse or chapter 30 or something, and it's different. So this case of Daniel is different. Now, all of you, or maybe not all of you, but a lot of you are probably familiar with the story of the three Hebrew children that are told to bow before the golden idol, and they're to worship this idol. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, nope, we're not going to do it, king. We're not going to bow. We serve a living God. We serve God. We're not going to bow to your idol. And we believe that if you, because it says you're going to get thrown into a fiery furnace, if you throw us into this furnace, God can possibly, if he wants to, save us. But if he doesn't, we're not going to bow, king. In other words, you're not going to force us to bow. So then it says, in the Brenton, then these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the midst of the burning furnace and walked in the midst of the flame, singing praise to God and blessing the Lord. Now, that's added, singing praise to God. A part about them worshiping isn't in most of your Bibles. But I love it because you wonder why King Nebuchadnezzar's is like astonished. I wondered, well, where was he standing? Was he standing in front of the furnace? This thing was seven times hotter. There must have been something that caught his attention. This makes sense. They worshiped God. And he wondered and rose up in haste and said it to his nobles, did we not cast three bound into the midst of the fiery furnace? And they said to the king, yes, O king. And the king said, but I see four men loose and walking in the midst of the fire, and there has no harm happened to them. And the appearance of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then we know that he says, hey, come on out, guys. We threw you in there. You're obviously, you're safe. And so after that, King Nebuchadnezzar says, we're going to worship the gods of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because this is the true God right here. You know, because the Babylonians, they worshiped all kinds of gods. You know, they worshiped whatever god they needed to get crops. They needed whatever god they needed to fight wars. They need, you know, whoever they needed, they worshiped. And now they realize, wow, this is the God of gods. He kind of forgets it a little bit further on, and he's the one who ends up saying, you know, look what all I've done. And he ends up becoming soaked with rain for 7 years, and his nails grow like an animal, and he ends up like getting hair all over his, he must have looked almost like a werewolf. I mean, and he was basically eating off the ground. This is the king for 7 years because he forgot who he declared God was. So I just wanted to point that out. That again, they were singing to the Lord. And this goes along with what I've heard of people who were burned at the stake. They were singing praises as they were being burnt to the stake. Why? Because they knew that this was a temporary life. And they knew that they were God's and that he had them. Exodus 17, 8 through 13. I've shared on this before, but it's so powerful because I believe this communicates the true essence of what praise is. Now, how many of you on Sunday morning see, like a lot of us, raise our hands? Nobody's raised their hand, but I know some of you do raise your hands. And Jesse sees us because he sits in the very back, so he sees people raise their hands. Well, why do we do that? Why do we raise our hands? Surrender is one, but it's also part of the Hebrew word praise. I think it's yada. Is that right, Bob? You probably know. And it literally means to throw hands. And why do we throw our hands? We throw our hands to say, you're our God, you're our Father. We surrender, exactly. But it's also a weapon. It's not just an action that we do, it's also a weapon. Let me show you here. In verse 8, it starts out, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now, Amalek was an enemy of Israel and his children, and would be for a long time. And Moses said to Joshua, choose some men to go and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So this is Moses. He's got the rod of God that he used to part the Red Sea. And he says, I'm going to stand on the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And he's holding his hands up. Okay? You got the picture? So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. As Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. So what do we have? Hands raised up. He's holding the rod that turned into a snake before Pharaoh, and the rod that Moses was commanded to pick up and probably carried as a shepherd's staff, but it was also the tool that the Lord used to help deliver the children of Israel. But now he's standing and he's doing warfare. Now he doesn't necessarily know he's doing warfare. Because the war looks like it's down on the ground, right? That's where the battle is. But he's standing worshiping God. And so it was when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So his hands came down. You know, have you ever stood with your hands up for a long time?
Yeah.
It can get tiring. I mean, it's like, because, you know, those muscles are like, oh, this is gravity affecting my muscles right now. I can't do this forever. And so when he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. So in other words, the army's like this. Here's Moses' arms are up. Israel's like going like this and pushing them back. Moses' hands get tired. They come down. All of a sudden, Amalek's coming down. So there's a battle going on, and Moses is participating in it. But he's not down on the battlefield. He's standing and worshiping God. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put him under him and set him on it. So he's standing, he's getting tired. So they said, well, let's put a stone underneath him. So at least he's not standing. He can sit and hold his hands. But then it says, And Aaron and Hur, Aaron being the high priest and Hur being one of the leaders, supported his hands on one side, one on one side, and on the other side, and on the other side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So they held his hands up until the sun went down. I don't know when the battle started. Sounded like it started that morning, didn't it? So his hands had been up pretty much the whole day. Probably pretty tired. But you know what happened? Others came and supported his hands. Two said, you know what, we're gonna hold your hands up. And so guess what happened? So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So when I lift my hands, I have this truth in my heart. I have this truth in my heart that as I lift my hands, maybe I don't know what enemies I'm fighting right now. Maybe they're in the invisible realm. But I know, again, as it says, that we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darknesses of this age, against heavenly spiritual hosts in heavenly places. I mean, we war against spiritual entities. So when I'm lifting my hands and worshiping God, yes, I'm worshiping him, but I also know that I'm participating in a spiritual battle. These hands are weapons. And you've heard that as somebody that's karate. So as a Christian, if you've never done karate, your hands are weapons. I don't know how lethal they are, but they're weapons. So, you know, with this thought in mind, as a young Christian, I would go through difficulties. And, you know, and I hadn't walked with the Lord that many years. And so, you know, when problems came and stuff, they felt overwhelming, you know. And they probably were simple problems back then, you know, like I was maybe lost a job or something like that. And it seemed like my whole world was falling apart, which it can when you're younger with those kind of things. You know, now you go through those things as part of life. But when you're younger, you lose your job or you lose a friend or whatever it was, I would feel heavy. And so, you know, I made it a habit, and I know it looks weird, and it probably won't be on the deal, but I made it a habit of when I needed to worship the Lord, because I wanted to keep my hands raised, I would go up against a wall like this, and I'd start praising the Lord. So my hands wouldn't get heavy, and I would praise and worship and praise and worship, put on music, praise and worship, until the heaviness went away. And it would go away. You know, because he gives us, you know, garments of praise. What's a garment of praise? It sounds like it's something you use to praise with. And what's it for? The spirit of heaviness. That's a song we used to sing years ago in church. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. See that? Oh, we're dating ourselves, kids. We really are. But it's true. We put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It's a weapon. So what am I telling you here? I'm telling you again, you're armed for battle. You are able to fight against the works of the enemy with weapons that are not carnal. They don't make sense. You know, someone's doing, I mean, I'm sure if someone would have walked in the house, like at mom's house when I'm doing this, yeah, hallelujah, Jesus. Like, that guy's insane. Call the fifth floor at Memorial, whatever. But it was how I connected with God in a supernatural way to receive his grace and to have the spirit of heaviness go away. Speaking of spirit of heaviness, how would you like it if you did the works of the Lord and you're thrown in prison? Not just in prison, you're thrown in the center of the prison and you're put in stocks, both your arms and your legs. In other words, you're bound, right? How would you like that? Well, listen to this, Acts 16, 24 through 26. This is exactly what happens to Paul and Silas. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks, not just their arms, but their feet as well. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, why were they praying and singing hymns to God? Because they loved Jesus, because they loved God. Now, Paul may have understood some of this too. He knew the Old Testament. So he may have said, hey, let's worship. Let's do some spiritual battle. Praise God. And so It says, and the prisoners were listening to them. I love that. So the ones who were in there because they were doing bad things were hearing them as well. And then suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Not just Paul and Silas's, everybody's chains were loosed. All the doors were open. Now, what happens when a prison is completely made open and all the chains fall off people? What normally happens? They run. So I don't have it here, but what ends up happening is that the jailer, the warden, sees all this, hears this, and he's getting ready to kill himself. And Paul yells out, "Don't kill yourself. We're all here. Nobody left." Why? Because supernatural power came. It wasn't just an earthquake. It was the presence of God, so that those prisoners didn't even want to run. Yeah. So you think about that. What happens when you worship? What happens when we worship here on Sunday? Who are possibly we are affecting in our neighborhood? Maybe not even hearing us, but the power of God is spreading throughout this area in Selah. We don't know. We don't know what kind of impact we're having at our work. If you just say, thank you, Jesus, under your breath, and people don't even have to hear you. And all of a sudden, that presence of God is spreading, and people came into work and they're grumpy and angry. And then by the end of the day, it's like, I don't know, man, today turned out pretty good. I don't know what's going on. I feel good. Well, it's because the presence of God came, because you were worshiping under your breath. Well, I thought you had to say it loud. No, you don't have to, because we're supernatural beings. Even if we're not saying it with our lips, we're saying it in our hearts and we're communicating with God, it's as if we're saying something. So I'm going to leave you with this. How are we doing on time? Good. Oh, man, I'm getting done quick. Good word. we're going to worship after this, folks. Yeah. We're going to worship. That must be what God wants, because this is Psalm 149, 4 through 9. Now get this. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Boy, has he not ever done that. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. So if your husband and wife start singing aloud on their bed and waking you up, that's scriptural right here. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. To execute vengeance on the nations, the punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. Now, I would say that back in the day when this was being spoken to Israel, this was against all their enemies. But you know what I'm talking about? This is our spiritual enemies right now that we're dealing with. As we're lifting our songs while as we lay on our bed, as we're singing high praises to God, holding a two-edged sword in our hand, did we learn what the sword is? The word of God, right? As we know the word of God and we communicate the word of God, it puts our enemies to flight. It makes them shake, because the supernatural realm is being invaded with the power of God. We're being used here on earth as weapons of warfare for the heavenly kingdom. And it says that this honor have all the saints. This is an honor. When you come on Sunday mornings, you've been given an honor to worship God. And when we worship God in spirit and in truth, the enemy flees. He has to scatter. Because what we're doing, we're fully submitting to God. And we're resisting the devil at this time. Hopefully you guys aren't involved in activity that you're with the devil. And you know what it says? He has to flee. That's in James. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when we come on Sunday mornings and James is leading or Eric is leading or someone up front is saying, admonishing after a few songs, say, let's, especially Nancy. Nancy's all the time, come on, guys, because she knows this stuff. This is in her heart. That's why she's saying, amen, yes. When you know these things, you get these things in your heart, these truths, you know what? When you worship, there's a little bit more of an intensity to it. Because you realize that it's not just you singing a song. It's not just you being off key with a note.
Ooh, I hate to
worrying about what someone else hears. Forget that noise. Sometimes it is noise, but forget it. Lift your voice and say, hallelujah, Jesus. Worship in spirit and in truth. That's what the Father's looking for. Why? Because in spirit and in truth, he can inhabit those praises. If we're just reading some songs off the page on the screen, and we're just trying to get through the worship service so we can get to the coffee or whatever it is, missing out on the opportunity to be a weapon used by God. And you could leave this place having faced an obstacle that would have been there Monday morning, and it's gone. You never even know about it because you fought when you were worshiping here, and God did the battle, and it's all done, and you didn't even have to know about it. It's like entertaining angels unaware. It's like missing an accident, you know. This is what trusting God does, is that you know that he's got you. A reason to worship, reason to praise his name. Let's worship for a minute, then I'll pray. Hallelujah.
Faithful, praise God, you're true, praise God.
'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Secret weapon that your life can be changed forever. If you start applying this principle to your life, you're gonna have success in areas that others may have failures, because you're gonna be using your supernatural power that's in you, Jesus, by worshiping Him, setting captives free. Next time you're praising the Lord, realize that maybe there's a family member right now that's being delivered from some addiction, and they're going to come to a new light, and that's Christ. It's a new day. It's a new day for the kingdom of God in the Yakima Valley. I'm believing for souls and lives and hearts, one life at a time. And when we worship, we're going to believe that lives are being transformed. Our own life first. We want to start at home. But then also realizing it as our life gets together and we start knowing Jesus, we're walking with Him, we then make it available to others. And that when we walk down our street, we may not say a thing, but the glory of God can touch others' lives. When you're walking in school, you're walking down your halls, the glory of God touching other lives. And they come and ask you, what's going on? Why are you glowing? Say, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Amen? Okay, I want to do one more thing before we end here, because I think it'd be appropriate for us to say praise the Lord as loud as we can three times, and I'll lead you. Just get it, it shakes the cobwebs out of us. Sometimes we just need to get loud, you know, for us to realize that we're not of this earth. Yeah, I don't think you get louder than Nancy. Yeah, amen.
Yada.
Yada, exactly.
You know, and it's used in Genesis 3:5, where it says, Adam, yada, knew Eve, and conceived.
Oh, yes.
So,
there's intimacy.
Yada
in.
Is intimacy.
Yes.
You have to have that intimacy with the Lord.
Amen.
He wants us to know Him.
Amen.
Like Adam knew Eve.
Yes.
It's an intimacy, and you've got to have it down in your heart. You've got to have it, you know, deep inside.
Amen, Bob. And He wants us more than we want Him. That's the good news. And we say, Lord, You want me more than I can even desire You. So take me. I'm Yours. And then do in me what You need to do to make me hunger for You. That's good, Bob. Yes. So on three, we're going to say praise the Lord and see if you can get louder than Nancy. That's a challenge. One, two, three. Praise the Lord! Well, that's pretty good. That was pretty good. How about one more time? One, two, three. Praise the Lord! Okay, you guys are good. One more time. Let's rock this place. One, two, three. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Yes! Hallelujah. All right. Never the same in Jesus' name. You guys are new level of worshipers after this moment. Amen. God bless you. We got a few minutes. Prayer service downstairs, 9:45.